Revelation chapter 20, verse number 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And boy, that's a good thing. Amen. I'm so tired of seeing the devil win. And he doesn't have to. He doesn't have to, but people let him. But I'm so tired of seeing it. Seems like you work on somebody and you get them halfway interested in the gospel, about the point they'll listen. The devil brings something in their life. And you go to witness to somebody and you get started and the phone rings or somebody shows up. It's just amazing how active. If we could be half as busy as the devil was, if we'd be half as active and half determined as the devil is, then we'd see a lot done for the Lord. Now, chapter 20, verse 10. I want us to focus in on the little description there, and the devil that deceived them. We're going to talk about Satan as a deceiver, and we'll chase that around the Bible a little bit tonight. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you, God, that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So important, Lord, that we be aware, educated when it comes to Satan and his devices, that we don't stay ignorant, that we would be, Lord, so that he would not gain an advantage of us. And Lord, one of the areas of specialty for the devil is that he is a deceiver. He's a deceiver. And boy, he can get us thinking one thing when it's just not true. He can get us believing something that's not true. He can get us just convinced over something where we walk around and we think we thought of it. We think it's our opinion, and it's just not true. And so I pray, Lord, that we'd look at the scripture. I think you know the areas in which we're weak. I think you know the areas where we're susceptible to being deceived. And so, Lord, as we kind of look through the Bible and examine just three areas where, if we're not careful, it's very easy to be deceived. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts tonight, Lord, through the scriptures. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. The devil's a deceiver. The devil's a deceiver. He sure is. Pastor reminded us this morning that many, many times Satan used he a lot of times doesn't go to somebody and say, don't get saved. He says, just put it off. Pastor talked this morning about procrastination. Well, listen to me. A person doesn't come up with the idea to procrastinate and not get saved. The devil gives him that idea. A lot of the things that we think we've thought of and we've convinced ourselves of, it's not really us that thought of it at all. It's the deceiver whispering in our ear. Now, young people, listen to me and sit up straight and tall and pay attention at night. Because listen to me, if you're not careful, the Satan will deceive you. He'll trick you. It's amazing what he can talk you into if you're not careful. It's amazing what he can talk you into being right that's just flat out wrong. It's amazing the things he can talk you into doing that if you would listen to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit, you'd know better than to do it. And so watch out for this rascal. He is a deceiver. Satan is a deceiver. Now, we could spend a lot of time tonight just proving that point, but let me just say that you can go all the way from the book of Genesis all the way to the book, almost the last chapter of Revelation, and we see Satan deceiving people. All the way in the very first chapters of the Bible, we see him go to Eve, and he lays the pattern for us. He goes in an attempt to deceive, and he does deceive her. And here we see in the book of Revelation, we have, and I mentioned this the other night, but here we have 1,000 years have expired, and Satan is loosed out of prison, out of that temporary hold. And then in verse number 8, and shall go out to deceive the nations within four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is the sand of the sea. This is after the millennial reign. This is after Jesus has ruled and reigned for 1,000 years. It's amazing to me, isn't it? And yet Satan still is a powerful deceiver. Remember what we talked about Wednesday night? Satan is such a powerful deceiver that he was able to convince. He was able to convince 1/3 of the angels of heaven of leaving the presence of God and leaving the worship of Jehovah God and committing their loyalty to Lucifer, that fallen angel, that deceiver. Listen, if he can fool angels, he might be able to fool us. If he can fool Eve before she had a sin problem, we might be susceptible to being fooled ourselves. So be careful here now. Listen, pay attention, because if you're not careful, the devil will come up and deceive you. Now, it's very interesting. As you study this word and chase it to the Bible, there's three times where God puts down three words together in the Bible, three times in the New Testament where God says specifically, be not deceived. Be not deceived. And I think there's a reason that these three areas are covered. I think there's a reason that God put the emphasis on these three areas, because I think if you look at these three areas, you'll have to agree with me that person after person after person after person is deceived by Satan in one of these three areas. So let's just kind of take tonight, get the Bible out, let's study it, let's see what it says, and let's let God speak to our hearts. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, all right? So we'll use our Bibles, do some turning, do some reading tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Do you know that right now you may be deceived by Satan in some area?
Absolutely.
And God might tonight want to put a spotlight in that area of your heart. Listen to what God says about this matter of being deceived. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 9. Notice this. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. The Bible says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? And you wait a minute, Pastor Jerry. I mean, when we give the Romans Road, the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. That's right. That's right. What this is talking about is not talking about in the following verses, and we'll read on down here. It's not talking about that someone has to be sinless in order to go to heaven. But you do have to have traded your unrighteousness for the righteousness of Jesus Christ. All right? Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Did you notice that? Let me ask you a question. This is a fair question. This is a good biblical question. Have you been washed? Have you been sanctified? Have you been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God? Now listen, folks, the only way we can get to heaven is if we try to go in with our own level of righteousness. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. And the Bible says, listen, if you're not saved, you're unrighteous, and you cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. You must be washed. You must be sanctified. You must be justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What that's all saying is you've got to be born again. Number one, be careful. Don't let the devil deceive you into thinking that you are saved when you are not. Amen. Well, that happens. That happens over and over and over again. There's all kinds of folks right now that's clinging on and relying on their religion or religious experience or a church membership or baptismal experience, or one time they were in the hospital and they almost died and somebody prayed for them, or God spared them from this, or God spared them from that, or, well, one time God answered my prayer, and surely he answered this prayer I prayed, so I must be okay. Listen, except a man be born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Can you look back in a time between you're born until this moment right now when you understood clearly that you were a sinner? And you were, and you understood the guilt and the depth of that sin was against God. Did you at one time feel the convicting power of God upon your heart, convicting you of that sin? Did you at one time in your life realize, listen, I'm on my way to hell. I'm in trouble. I need saved. I can't do anything to save myself. I need saved. Have you ever been there? Have you ever felt that? Have you ever been there? It may have happened in a church service. It may happen when somebody stopped by your door, a soul winner stopped by your door. And if someone took the Bible and showed you this thing. Have you ever been told that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and was buried and rose again? And have you chosen to believe that with your heart? Not just with your head. Oh, yeah, sure. No, with your heart. When you believe with your heart, you believe unto salvation. And you've turned with your whole heart and accepted Jesus Christ. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be. Now listen to me, folks. Anything short of this, it's not salvation. It's not something. I had an interesting conversation one time back here, and there was a man that came in to do some work here at the church, to deliver some goods and do some work for us, and I got to talk to him about his salvation. And he said, and I said, let me ask you a question. He told me, well, I go to church so-and-so where, and where we've been active in this church, and we've come for some time, didn't used to go, but we've been coming for some time to this church right here. And I said, that's great. Let me ask you something. Has there been a time when you've been saved? Now watch this. Watch his answer. He said, you know, I had an interesting conversation with our pastor about that. Because he said, I said to him one time, I said, you know, everybody wants to talk about that time you were saved. And he said, you know, looking back at a time you're saved. And he said, you know, I don't know real if there's been a time where I've been saved. I can tell you that I believe now. And he says, you know, I think I just kind of grew into it. I started going to church. I listened. And I just kind of grew into this. That you don't grow in to salvation. You get saved. And I looked at him and I said, listen to me. I said, well, what did your pastor say? And he said, well, sometimes it happens that way with some people. I said, hello? Hello? Amen? And that's sad. And I said to myself, I said, listen to me. The Bible says this. I said, you know, we can get all kinds of ideas in our head, mister. We get all kinds of ideas in our head about, well, you know what? I didn't do it exactly the way the Bible lays out, but you know what? You're what? You're lost. Now, there's got to be a time when the Holy Spirit has come and convicted your heart of your lost condition. And that you come to Jesus Christ and cry out to him, realizing that you're that sinner that Jesus died for. Realize you're on your way to hell. Realize that Jesus paid for those sins, was buried, and rose again. You put your full faith, your full trust, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Pastor Jerry, when's your birthday? Well, that's kind of a difficult question. See, I mean, somewhere between 1956 and 1965, I just kind of decided to become. I don't look back at any one day. I just kind of, you know, it was a slow thing with me. And then, you know, that's why Jesus said you must be born again. No, it wasn't. August 30th, 1961. My wife was born. 1961, my mom brought into the world a 10-pound, 10-ounce. Man, brother, I'm telling you. Man, Dad used to say they didn't carry me out. He just reached down, get my hand, and walked me on out the door there. I always figured what happened was he dribbled me out, you know, like a basketball. 10 pounds, 10 ounces, amen. Where's Sister Shannon? Isn't that an encouragement? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And you got a birthday. You got a birthday. Do you have a spiritual birthday? Now, maybe you don't have the date and the time written down. You know, I mean, but in your mind, you can go back to a point in time. Point in time. Boy, I always encourage people to write it down because, you know, some folks don't. And I didn't. I don't know the exact day I got saved, but I can remember back a point in time where I met Jesus. A point in time where I met Jesus. Now, this is a fair question. Are you saved? Well, you understand, Pastor. I was kind of in church a while. I was kind of out of church. No, watch it. You better be careful about this thing. There's a lot of people that's kind of relying on a whole string of little religious experiences, and now they figure because of the sum of all of them, I'm probably lost. Are you saved? Are you saved? Can you go back and say, I can remember the place, I remember the time, I remember who was talking to me, I remember being convicted and drawn by the Holy Spirit. Listen, folks, we all have a faulty human memory. And I want to say this because I think sometimes we're not careful. We get people doubting when they shouldn't doubt. You're not going to remember every word that was said to you. You're not going to remember every word of the prayer that you prayed. But let me tell you what you won't forget. You won't forget the drawing of the Holy Spirit. You won't forget the fact that the Holy Spirit was convicting you. You won't forget the fact that you prayed and asked Jesus. You may not remember everything you said, but did you call out to Christ? Did you call out to Christ? Were you sincere? Did it come from your heart? And boy, did you feel that? Now people say, well, you can't rely on feelings. I don't know, man. I've been around a lot of people who got saved and they all felt something. I know the feelings don't save you, but you feel something when you get saved. I don't know what you felt, but I remember feeling relief. I remember feeling peace. You know, how can God come to dwell in you and you not feel something? And there's some feelings involved with it. Do you remember that? Do you remember how good it felt? Now, folks, do you remember that time? Now, listen to me. I say this because, you know, it'd be a shame. It'd just break my heart. I mean, I think, you know, Pastor, I can't imagine what it would be like to have the rapture happen and get up to heaven and start taking count and realize that somebody that sat week after week at the pews of Blessed Hope Baptist Church just sat here and was relying on a bunch of stuff that wasn't real because the devil's a deceiver. He's a deceiver. You got to watch that. You got to watch that. Don't let him deceive you. I got the opportunity a couple years ago, and gracious, gracious pastor, Sal Unezzi, called up on the south side of Philadelphia and wanted me to fly out there for a couple days and preach a youth conference for him. And, we had a good time. Exciting church right smack on the south side of inner city Philadelphia. And the whole church was filled with Italians. I mean, you never seen so many Italians in one place at your time. And those Italians, they're a kissing bunch. They are. I'll just tell you that. Is this true? They're a kissing bunch. Yeah. I mean, they're back there. The men are kissing each other on the cheek and everything. I stayed back in the foyer with a gun. You know, I just kept my gun around and a good group, affectionate group. Italians aren't worth much unless they get saved, you know, and then they're worth something. So y'all remember to pray for anybody that God brings to your mind right now, all right? But it was a good, and it was an exciting church. They had a youth choir that I wanted to bring back home with me. There's something about inner city kids trying to sing, and if you haven't been there's no way to really describe it, you know. I don't know. I don't know if it was right sometimes or wrong sometimes, but they were having a good time doing it. I don't know that. And the funniest part is that they had some black gals in the choir. And there's just something, you know, you either have soul or you don't have soul, brother. And we don't have it. But they got it. And they'd be up there singing a song, and I'd look down, there's a little black girl on the end, you know. And she'd get halfway, she's singing along, and all of a sudden she's a-doing this, you know. And she's a-doing this, and all of a sudden the choir director would give her this look, and she'd go back like that. And she's singing along, and she's doing this. I'm about up there to have a heart attack. It was it was a blessing, amen. But got up there and preached, and I preached a message, and I didn't really hit it very hard, just kind of in passing, just one of the quick points in one of the messages. I hit on this matter of being deceived and this matter of knowing for sure that you're saved. And I'll tell you something, a neat thing happened right at the invitation time. A lady sat there for about three verses of the invitation. A lady about four or five rows down on this side come busting out. She come down here and she sat down and she just sobbed. I mean, just knelt right there and just sobbed. And finally, a lady from the church come over and dealt with her for a while. And this happened just about the time I was ready to give the invitation. I hadn't even started the invitation. And all of a sudden, she busts out, kneels down, starts sobbing. And I went to the invitation. The lady come up and dealt with her. This was a youth pastor's wife. And she at the end of the invitation, they had a good altar call, and some exciting things were happening. And Brother Sal got up there, and he got this lady. He'd been talking to her, and he said, "I want you to say a word." And he gave her a microphone, and she said to the and there was 300 teenagers, 300 people there in this auditorium. Beautiful, beautiful auditorium, exciting place to be. And she got on there, and she said, "I've been for all of these years." She said, "I've been a youth pastor all of these years." She said, "I know I've not been saved." And she said, "Every time I think I ought to, the devil would give me a reason why I shouldn't do it." And he said, "You know what? I was so." He said, "You know what? Watch this." She said, "You know what the devil would always tell me? You can't go up and get saved. The girls in your youth group think you're saved. They'll think you were a big hypocrite this whole time. They'll lose their faith in you and what you were trying to teach them. You can't be." She said, "But I couldn't stand it this morning." You know what was interesting about that? By the time they got done, she come up here and was being dealt with. All of a sudden, I seen their youth group start emptying out. And you know what? Five of their young people got saved that morning too. You know, the devil will tell you not to get saved, and here's the reason you oughtn't to. But you know what? He really knows that if you do the right thing, revival could break out. That's exactly right. And man, I sat there, goosebumps all over me. I'm sitting there, I'm just, man, thank you, Lord, for letting me be here. Let me see this happen. And boy, this little youth group's up here, and they're hugging, and the girls are hugging, and the guys are down here, and they're praying together, and they were having a revival. I'll tell you why they're having a revival. Because finally somebody said, you know what, I'm not gonna walk around playing this game anymore. I'm not gonna walk around like that. You know, I'm gonna get this thing, I'm gonna make sure that this thing is real in my life. Now we must hasten. But notice, folks, underline those three words. Did you see them? Know ye not that the unrighteous, you don't have the righteousness of Jesus Christ, you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. Be not deceived. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's hasten on. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Verse number 33. Do you see it again? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 33. There it is again. Underline it. Second time in the Bible. There it is. Be not deceived. Well, what is it we're being warned about here? Well, it's going to tell you. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Now, here's another area where I think Satan's just great about deceiving young people and deceiving us as adults too. He comes along and he says, listen to me, it doesn't matter who you hang around. It doesn't matter who your close friends are. It doesn't matter who your close companions are. Listen, it doesn't matter. It's not going to affect you. But the Bible says here, evil communications corrupt good manners. Listen, God's saying, be not deceived. Be not deceived. Oh, I see Satan use this a lot in Christians' lives. You show me a Christian gets on fire for God and starts getting excited about the things of God and all this, and it seems like Satan will send some deadhead into their lives, right. And next thing you know, they'll lose their fire and they'll lose their zeal and they'll lose their excitement. Why? What happened? Well, they started hanging around somebody that corrupted the good that God was beginning to do in them.
That's right.
Let me ask you something. Let's just be honest with yourselves. Are you a positive influence for those around you? Do you help others to get excited about serving God and loving God? Or are you a big downer?
Amen.
I mean, after somebody spends an hour with you, are they more excited about the Lord or less excited about the Lord? Are they more excited about what's going on here at Blessed Hope or less excited about what's going on here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church? Listen, you can be salt or you can be leaven. You can be salt or you can be leaven. You got to watch that, folks. Now listen to me. Here's the mentality. Well, listen, I'm going to go be a blessing to this person. I'm going to go reach this person. If I spend enough extra time with them, I can have an influence over them. And listen to me, folks. You know, here's a great, great illustration. I don't have one up here, but I want to show you. I'd like you to try something at home. Those of you that are convinced that that's, you know, your ministry is go around and spend all your time around deadheads because you're going to bring a revival to them. What I want you to do is go home, and I want you to stand up on the table. All right, you stand up on your kitchen table. Are you kids listening to me? You go home. I'm gonna have a bunch of kids grounded, but you go home and you stand up on top of your Christian table, or Christian. Kitchen table, amen, brother. It's all that drywall dust, I'm telling you. Insulation, I don't know what I'm saying most of the time. Stand up on your kitchen table. And you get somebody else about your same size and you have them grab you by the hand. And then I want you to do this. They're going to pull down and you're going to pull up. And I want to see whether or not you end up on the floor or they end up on the table.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? I'm talking about young men. If you watch it, Buskies. Boys, listen to me. Listen to me. Mike, I'm talking about you. You sit up here on the front row. Now why are you back there talking?
That's right.
Are you listening to me, son? Do you know I love you? You know Pastor Jerry loves you, don't you? You better watch it. Okay, buddy, you join this church, you're doing good. Don't get off track.
Yep.
Hear what I'm saying? Now watch it, folks. It happens just that quick.
That's right.
Are you listening to me? By the way, that's my buddy. I'm more a buddy to him by telling him that than I would be trying to pull him down. Are you listening to me? Better watch it, folks. You know, I'll just be honest with you. I found this out in my Christian life, and I'm not blaming anybody. I'm saying it's as much me as anybody. But I just found out, especially when I was a young Christian and I didn't have a whole lot of Christian maturity and Christian church. I'm just telling you, there's some people I just couldn't hang around because if I did, they'd back me up.
That's right.
And I'm not blaming them. I should have had the strength, but I did have enough sense to at least realize it. Sometimes you just need to dissolve relationships if you're going to go forward for Christ. Okay, now listen to me. Don't get mad at me, parents. Okay, if you've got a kid that's going spiritually backwards and another parent says, you know what, to their kid, you know, that's not a good influence on you right now.
Right.
Don't get mad at that parent and that kid.
That's right. Absolutely.
Get on your knees and get with your young people and help them get turned around the right direction.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? Because Satan's real good at deceiving us.
Yeah.
All right. Now, there's people of spiritual maturity. All right. If a man be overtaken of fault, ye that are spiritual restore such a one. And there's a level of maturity where you can spend some of your time trying to restore those that have backslid spiritually. But let me tell you something, folks. You go with the intent of restoration. You don't just go to hang out.
That's right.
Okay, because you hang out and you're going to, next thing you know, they're going to drag you down. You're not going to drag them up. Now, folks, this is just Bible. Did you get that? Evil communication. Be not deceived. Don't talk yourself into this. I've seen this happen all through my Christian life. I'm talking about good people. I'm talking about good Christians. And somehow I get a little cattywhopped into church. Well, we're going to go over evenings and we're going to visit with them. We're going to try to get them back into the fellowship. And next thing you know what you got? Two families that are cattywhopped.
That's right. Absolutely.
That's what you got. Okay? Well, I want to listen to their side of it. You got two families that are cattywampus. All right, you better listen to me. Lord, I've seen this over and over. All right? Now, listen to me. Evil communication corrupt good manners. High school, junior high, elementary, you be careful. Parents, you monitor this. Listen to me. You know what? Sometimes as a parent, you just got to be the meanie. You got to be the bad guy. You just got to put your foot down. Okay? You keep your kids hanging around the right kids. You keep them sitting where they ought to sit.
That's
in church. All right. If they're sitting in a position or a situation where the whole service, they're more concerned about the members of the upper gender right beside them or around them, and they're not listening, then you need to move them.
Absolutely.
And does that make sense?
Sure.
Okay, I don't know what you're thinking about that age, but I wasn't thinking about the Word of God if I was surrounded by a bunch of girls. Neither were you, Caleb. Amen, brother. Amen. I'm not going to let you testify. Let me say something. I got this written down. Bible college students, listen to me. You go off to Bible college, and you know what? Sometimes we're under the impression here back home, whoa, they got them off to Bible college. Well, they'll be all right. Tell you something, the wrong crowd's everywhere. There's a wrong crowd in Bible college, just like there's a kids that are there for the wrong reason and kids that are there for the right reason. There are kids that are there that want to serve God, and kids there that all they're worried about is how they can break the rules. They were that way in high school, they're going to be that way in college. You better watch who you hook up with. You better watch who you hang around. Are you listening? Evil communications corrupt good manners.
Right.
One thing I decided when I went off to Bible college, I thought, I'm not going to let circumstance choose my friends.
Right.
Let me explain what I mean by that. I get to put in a dormitory, and I put in a dorm room. And by the way, I had in the long storied history of my college education, I had a lot of different roommates. Amen. The best one I had was the last one I got. Amen. But I had a lot of roommates. I spent a lot of time in the dorm. But you know what? Just because I was put in a room with some guys didn't mean that was going to be my best friends and who I hang around. Now, you know what? I was privileged to be roommates with some of the best Christian young people I've ever met in my life. And sometimes that was able to develop into a friendship. But I didn't let circumstances decide that. There was times that I was in a room where all the guys were kind of goof-ups. You know what? I'd go in there. I'd do my thing. I'd sleep there. I'd do my studies. I'd be nice to them. But you know what I decided? I decided when I go to Bible college, listen, if I'm here to serve God and I'm here to prepare for the ministry, then I want to look around and I want to find those upperclassmen that have a heart for God and have a fire for God and are out there not just talking about it, but doing it, are actively doing it. And I want to go to where the prayer meetings are, and I want to go to where the preaching services are, and I want to go to where hang out where the soul winners are, and I want to go to the people that have tears in their eyes for lost souls and a broken heart for lost souls, and that's who I'm going to hang around. And you know what? I started hanging around that group, and boy, God done something in my heart. Why? Because I got away from evil communication.
Amen.
The years I was in Bible college, I watched kids get kicked out. I've watched all the, you wouldn't believe it. I had one guy one time, I shouldn't even tell this. I got one guy one time that was in my carpool. And I gave him a ride back for the UPS. And I noticed, you know, that he starts telling me about every evening all of a sudden. He wants to talk on the way up about movies. And he's telling me, he's saying, now this is a guy that lives in the dorms. and a Bible college. And for those of you that are unfamiliar with Bible college life, you know, if you're in a good Bible college, they don't have TV in there, and they don't have a VCR, they don't have a DVD. There's no. And he says, so he gets in the car one night. I say, have you ever seen such and such movie? Well, no. Oh, man, he starts telling me all about how cool it is next night. Have you ever seen such and such movie? Well, no. Oh, man. And I'm sitting there thinking, what's going on? Well, he goes on for about 2 weeks like this, and I'm thinking, well, maybe he watched these before he came to college, and he just likes talking about movies. I just changed the subject, you know. About 2 weeks later, I heard through the dormitory grapevine, amen, right after chapel, they would come back there, and they would go in there, and their other one roommate that would have turned him in because he was the spiritual, once he went off to work, they would all gather around, open the closet door, the cabinet, the closed cabinet, pull back the clothes. They had a TV set up in there. They had a VCR set in there. They go out, rent movies, come in every afternoon and sit in there and watch him. He's telling me about it. I don't know he's doing that. He was gone. And he didn't. And by the way, to his credit, I could tell you the guy's name. And he'd die if he knew I was telling the story, so I won't mention his name. And he's an assistant pastor out on the East Coast right now, and a great guy. Always, I mean, he really, but you know what? He just got caught up. You know what happened to him? This, by the way, he's in the ministry right now serving God. You know what? This will encourage some of you guys. You can pull some real bonehead things and still go on for God, you know. I mean, you know, isn't that an encouragement? None of us would be doing it if it wasn't true. You can pull some bonehead stuff and get it forgiven and learn something, go on for God. And I asked him later on, I called him by his name, and I said, because I knew he wasn't a bad kid. And I said, what in the world were you thinking? And he said, you know what? I just got in a dorm room with a couple guys that always trying to think of something neat to do. Are you listening to me? And what happened? Evil communications corrupted good manners. Those other two guys gone. I don't know where they're. I don't know what they're doing today. But you know what? This young man got it right. He stayed out the semester. He was kicked out. Came back. Finished Bible college. And he's out serving God right now. Now listen to me. You better be careful. You better be careful. You hang around. You go off to Bible college, you get around the I'm going to serve God crowd. You get around the clean living crowd. You get around the folks that are excited about soul winning, excited about bus ministry, excited about preaching, excited about the things of God. If you're preparing to serve God, get around people that are doing it, not people that are criticizing it. Amen. All right, that was free. That's for our Bible college students. Ernest's going to be here a little while this summer. Amen. Let me give you the last one. We'll wrap it up. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 7. Most of you know where we're going. This may be the first one that you thought of. And you've underlined for this will be the third time these three words bunched together here. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 7. Number one, don't let the devil deceive you into thinking you are saved when you're not. Number two, don't let the devil deceive you into thinking you can hang around the wrong crowd and not be corrupted. Evil communications corrupt good manners. You'll be corrupted. Number three, don't let the devil deceive you into thinking you will not reap what you sow. By the way, this doesn't have to be a negative thing. But that's the part the devil will work on. Be not deceived. There it is, underlined third time. Be not deceived. What is it God's warning about? He knows there's a person named Satan. He knows that there's a satanic force. He knows that he's the great deceiver. And so three times he pins these words together and says, this is what he's going to come to you and try to convince you of. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Galatians 6. Verse number 3. You know, the world will tell you, you know what? There's no consequences for sin. That's what the world will tell you. You can sin and get by with it. There's no consequences for sin. Well, you know what? God is not mocked. Okay, you're not going to thumb your nose at God and say, nah, 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 I'm going to do this. And then he's just going to go, oh, well, okay. He's not going to be mocked. You're not going to live opposite of the commandments of God and then reap the good. Goes on to say, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. You know, folks, it's been said a thousand times, but if you sow good seed, you're going to reap a good crop. And if you sow bad seed, you're going to reap a bad crop. And you know what I do in my life? I'd sow good seed. You know, even if in the past you've sown some bad seed, can I share something with you? If you sowed some bad seed in the past, you know what? You're going to have to reap some bad crop. I mean, you just do. I remember kneeling down and praying with a young man at camp several years ago, many years ago, young man up there in our youth group. And boy, he got to the altar. And one of those times, God just got a hold of his life. And boy, he was up there and God was all over him. And I finally went up there and snuck up beside him. Is there anything I can help you pray about? And he's just brokenhearted. And he'd gotten saved later on in his high school years and he'd already sown a lot of bad. He said, "Brother Jerry, what about that bad seed? What about that bad seed that I sow? What about it?" And I said, "You know what? Let me tell you about that bad seed." He said, "What?" I said, "You're going to reap it. You're going to reap it." But I've asked for, I know you asked for forgiveness. When you ask for forgiveness, God forgives it. But God doesn't go back and dig up all the seed. It's going to grow. I told him, I said, "Here's the deal." I said, "You're 17 years old. I said, you've spent several years sowing bad seed. You know what? You're going to face some things the next few years as a result of that bad. I said, be a man, take your medicine. It's going to happen. Just going to happen." Wow. I said, "Yeah." I said, "Now here's the thing." I said, how do you want life to be 2, 3, 4, 5 years from now?" I said, "What if tonight you just took that seed bag you have and emptied all that nasty seeds you've been sowing, all that, get them all out of it, and put good seed in it and started sowing it from this day forward? How do you think life's going to be in 5 years? How do you think life's going to be in 10 years? You know, you can reap the good too." And he said, "You know what? That makes sense. That makes sense." And it does make sense. You know, every time you reach in your bag, folks, all of us have a new nature, a saved nature, and an old sinful nature. We both have access to both kinds of seeds. And every time you reach in your bag and pull out and sow good seed, you know what? You can just remember that God's promised, "He that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting." You know, there's a disturbing thing going on TV. I shared this with my wife the other day. We were watching. There's a lot of disturbing things going on TV. But I couldn't believe it. The other night we were watching the news and a commercial came on from the tourist department of Las Vegas, Nevada. I don't know if you've seen this or not. And the big tourism campaign that's going on in Las Vegas. You listen to this. Watch this. Here's what I saw in the commercial. There's a man in a motel room and he's in Las Vegas. And he's talking to his cell phone company, and he's saying, he's talking to the front desk and said, "Could you have all of my calls forwarded to my cell phone?" And they said, "Well, we normally forward all the calls to your motel room." "Well, I know," he says, but he's looking out the window at the strip down there in Las Vegas. He said, "I don't know if I'll be here in the morning." And then the commercial ends, and it says Las Vegas in big letters. And it says, here's their tourism slogan: "What happens here stays here." What happens here stays here. And I said, "No, it doesn't." Jesus said, "That which is done in secret shall be shouted from the housetop." And you see what the devil's wanting to do? What happens here stays here. Tell you something, I don't care where you go, Las Vegas, you go wherever you want to go, and you sow bad seed. Let me tell you something, that seed's not going to stay there. It's going to follow you back. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You got that? Young people, I'm emphasizing this because the devil likes to deceive you about this. Listen, there's no long-term consequences. If you go ahead and do this, that's what the devil will say. You can do this and there's no long-term consequences. Yes, there is.
Yes, right.
Yes, there is. Yes. Are you listening to me? Are you getting this? Don't let the devil deceive you into thinking you will not reap what you sow. Now, the devil's a deceiver. And he works on all of us, folks. He does.
Yes.
You know, every once in a while, from time to time, I'll find myself saying something or talking myself into believing. I think I'm talking myself into believing something that is anti-Bible. It's just not true. So many times I've said something and all of a sudden I felt the Holy Spirit smite me. And I think, you know what? What am I saying? That's not biblically accurate. What's happening? Satan's trying to get us to believe that we're the exception to the rule.
Yes, that's right.
That portion of Scripture don't really apply to. Hath God said?
Yeah, amen.
Comes to Eve. Hath God said, thou shalt not surely die? There's no consequences. You'll be all right. You're the exception. Matter of fact, you're going to be a better person.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be like God's knowing good and evil. Isn't it amazing how Satan can turn sin from being a bad thing to all of a sudden trying to convince us that it's the best thing in the world for us? I've heard parents do this. Well, you know what? It doesn't hurt for our young people to have some of these relations. We talk to ourselves, it's good for them.
Yeah.
Where do you get that thinking?
Right.
Where do you get that thinking? Be not deceived. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. We're going to finish the service up. Have an invitation. We'll go home. But let me ask you a question. Before we close the book tonight on this service, would it be a wise thing for us to have a few minutes to do some self-examination? David prayed a wonderful prayer. He said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me." And the times in my life when I have all of a sudden had the Holy Spirit shine a light in my heart or in my mind at something that I was believing or practicing or doing that was faulty, I can't tell you how many times that's happened in this type of a situation during an invitation like right now. What is the Holy Spirit showing you? Is there something that Satan has talked you into believing that you know is not true? Some activity he's got you involved in that you've justified and defended, but you know the honest truth is you've been deceived. And let me just say this, because I'd be remiss as a gospel preacher if I didn't. Take a few minutes and look hard at this matter of salvation. The Bible says when we stand before the judgment seat, we are going to hear people say, "Lord, Lord, have not I prophesied in thy name? Haven't I done this and that?" And they'll say all of this big list of religious things that they did. And Jesus said, "Depart from me, I never knew you." What are you looking to? If you were asked, if you were put on the spot, if you were to die and stand before the throne of God right now, and he said, "Tell me why I should let you into heaven," what reason would you give? Would you be able to say, "Because there was a time and place when I realized that I was a sinner, realized that Jesus died on the cross for my sin. I called out with my full heart, trusted, and put my faith in Jesus Christ as my personal Savior." And folks, that's the only answer that's going to work. Heavenly Father, I pray that you speak to our hearts, Lord. This is, I believe, the portion of the service where the Holy Spirit just, if we let him, just needs to take full control. He has front, and he's front and center. He has the stage. Because this is the important type of the service, Lord, where a lot of times we either do the right thing with what we've heard, or we just walk out the door and then soon the birds fly and pick the seed up and it's gone forever. So I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to do the right thing. Lord, it's not a shameful thing to have been deceived. Satan has deceived the greatest Christians that ever lived from time to time. It's just a shameful thing to become aware of it and then not do anything about it. So I pray that you speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.